is the Lord, and greatly to be praised. Hallelujah. The mountain of his holiness. Thank God. God is in charge of my life, of every step I take. He has ordered and he upholds me. And you know, I enjoy it. I do. Oh, the enemies are great, but God is vast, much greater. He just slaps them down, you know that? You ever been slapped by God? Doesn't look pretty. Amen. We're going to go on tonight with the 17th chapter of the book of Acts. Tremendous chapter. A fun chapter. Oh, it might describe Plano. Who knows? You know, it might describe New York. Might describe Tokyo. Might describe Moscow. It might describe Miami, Florida, or Chicago, Illinois. Lord knows. But it's amazing what took place in this chapter. Kathy, would you begin? 17th chapter, verse 1, is it?
Verse 1. Now when they passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures.
Notice what he did with Jews. He reasoned with them out of the Scripture. Now let's see what his reasoning was, okay?
Verse 3, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. But the Jews which believed not, moved with envy, took unto them certain lewd fellows of the baser sort, and gathered a company, and set all the city on an uproar, and assaulted the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people.
Just a minute. Paul went to a synagogue and he reasoned with the Jews?
Correct.
Huh?
Correct.
And he reasoned about Jesus? Right?
Right.
Would you read that again, what he said to him?
It says, Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus whom I preach unto you is Christ.
Jesus? Paul said that? He is a... Now, you need to know about the Messiah. Right?
Right.
He called him Jesus, right?
Called him Jesus.
Oh, well, Lord, we don't know if this is accurate. No, really. I'm sure God doesn't know it either, huh? You people that don't have the courage to preach Jesus to a Jew, you don't have the courage to be born again either. Amen. Back 1971 or 2, God said to me, you want to know how to witness to a Jew? I said, sure. He said, read Acts chapter 2. Well, that won't sell any books, huh? I mean, that's already in the Bible. So there wouldn't be any way I could take that and sell it. But see, I'm not in the selling business anyway. Because I am not one that walks in the love of money. I walk in the love of God. Preaching the truth. Amen. Let's go on.
Verse 6. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren into the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also.
That's Paul and Silas.
Yes.
Turned the world upside down?
Yes.
I think some people think I've turned something upside down. But basically, what people want to do is turn me upside down. Well, you can't do that. You cannot do that. You're fighting God. When are you going to cease to resist the Holy Ghost. You stiff-necked, uncircumcised in heart and ears, why do you always resist the Holy Ghost? God upholds me. How many years is it going to take you to believe that God holds me up? How many years is it going to take you to believe that I speak the words of God? How many years is it going to take you to believe that you don't believe? Well, God will convince you. Go ahead.
7. Whom Jason had received, and these all do contrary to the doctrines of Caesar, saying that there is another one, one Jesus. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. And when they had taken security of Jason and of the other, they let them go. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night into Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so.
Do you see what makes you more noble?
Amen.
Then the next one, searching the scripture. Yes, searching the scripture, that makes you noble. More noble. See, not what you think. Searching the scripture. Is this so? Is this so? That is so. You know how I got where I'm at? Searching the scripture. Would you move on?
Verse 12. Therefore many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. But when the Jews of Thessalonica had knowledge that the word of God was preached to Paul at Berea, they came thither also and stirred up the people. And immediately the brethren sent away Paul to go as it were to the sea, but Silas and Timotheus abode there still. And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens, and received a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus, for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry.
Idolatry. Go ahead.
17. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews.
Don't say disputed with them. Didn't go in and say, now I love you. I really love you. You slick talking liar. You don't love anybody. That's witchcraft operating through you. Let's go on.
And with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him.
He talked with them, right?
Right. Disputed with
them. Disputed with them. He didn't try to, would you like to get saved? Would you come to my church? Would you come to a crusade? No, he taught the scripture. See, if God sent you, if God's with you, he'll have you preaching the word of God to everybody you meet. And not backing up. Go ahead.
Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what will this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preacheth unto them Jesus and the resurrection.
That's called, back in 2,000 years ago, a strange God. Do you know it's still strange today? Jesus is strange. Go ahead.
19. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine wherein thou speakest is. For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know, therefore, what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else, but either to tell or to hear some new thing.
Now, did you hear this? This is a charismatic movement, just sure as a world. They came to hear or tell something new. Is that right?
That is right.
That is a charismatic movement. My Lord, my Lord. Oh, have you heard this one? Oh, he's got a good doctrine. He's got the latest teaching about this and about that. Have you heard about him? He's from Singapore. He's from China. He's from Russia. He's from Jerusalem. Don't tell him where he's from, but he's got something to, oh, he's from Houston. And he preaches in love. Isn't that amazing? Would you continue?
22. Then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, you men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious.
Oh, too superstitious. You know what superstition is? Witchcraft. That's what Paul said. You're too superstitious. You're involved in witchcraft. And let me let Kathy read to you what he told them. Go ahead.
23. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God.
Oh my. Is that wild? To the unknown God. I wonder what kind of church that was. To the unknown God. Now that's far out, isn't it? Well, look what Paul said to them.
Whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you.
The one that you ignorantly worship, you say he's unknown. Paul said, I declare him unto you. Let's see what he said.
24. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with man's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and has made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation.
That part I like. You know that? He has appointed the times and the bounds of every person's habitation in the world. You live where you live because God put you there. And I live where I live because God put me there. And I speak where God has sent me because God put me there and sent me. And you'll have to decide if God sent me or did he send somebody from Tokyo or from somewhere. My God. You people love anything that's a softball, a warm fuzzy. Oh, yeah. You love those warm fuzzies. It is amazing what's written these days by so-called preachers. Let's go on.
Verse 27. That they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us.
Is that cool? You got to go to California to find God. You got to go to Paris to find God. You've got to go to Moscow to find God. You got to go to God knows where. Hawaii, of course, that's where it is, most likely. Well, that's where he most likely is, wouldn't you think? Oh, yeah, sure. How about Manchuria? Not too many of you are signing up for that trip. In January, let's go.
28. And in him we live and move and have our being. As certain of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone, graven by art and man's device. And at the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he has ordained, wherein he has given assurance unto all men, in that he has raised him from the dead.
You know that? I've taught this for more than 30 years in this building, that one day all of us are going to be judged by that man that God raised from the dead. And that man is Jesus Christ. And he is our example. And we are to walk as he walked. We are to walk in his footsteps. And if we say we abide in him, 1 John 2, we should also walk even as he walked. Isn't that amazing? You know, I was talking to a nut cake, a real fruit cake, someone I've known for years. And he said, if you ever come to where I'm at, with them, What was it Jesus made?
A scourge.
A what?
A scourge.
A scourge. Now this fool said, if you ever come with a scourge after me, I'll beat the hell out of you. Now, isn't that amazing? God sent Jesus, and he beat them all up and threw them out. And if I do the works of Jesus, and if he sent me with a scourge, I don't think this upstart's going to beat hell out of me, do you?
No.
Nah. He that God sent speaketh God's words. See, I don't keep any cards around. I don't want to be tempted. God would hand them to me. Okay. Oh, by the way, in Jesus, we live and move and have our being. Otherwise, if he pulled the cord, you'd die. So would I. I know that. Where would you go? If you died right now, where would you go? Are your sins forgiven? You know Jesus? You know Jehovah? You do the will of the Father? Well, it's a good time to start. Would you go on, Kathy?
32. And when they heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked, and others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. However, certain men clave unto him and believed, among them which was Dionysius, an Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. And that is the end of the chapter.
And that is the end of that chapter?
Yeah.
Well, that's the end of my teaching for this night.